In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
With our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondone. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me here in just a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website at redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on Facebook and Twitter. Which to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. You can listen to the station using our Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, RedStateTalkRadio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing 605-562-4209. Before we get started, let's give a shout-out to our AM and FM and digital affiliates, WJMW AM 1650, Hermitage, Tennessee, Talk Radio AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona, WMQL Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina, Coffin County Talk Radio AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas, WDFP Digital Radio, Atlanta, Georgia, and Tax Pro Radio, Gainesville, Georgia. Now let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how are you today, sir?
Doing all right here in Georgia. How are you in Tennessee?
Doing good, doing good. The weather has been nice. We've had sunny skies and all that stuff for about a week now or longer. No real rain to speak of. Of course, we'll need some sooner or later, but right now it's awful nice. Let's jump right into it. We didn't get to all the stories we wanted to last week, and one of them I wanted to get to and we didn't. We'll go ahead and lead off with today. There's an article by the American Thinker, and it's posted on redstatetownhall.com, our show's website, that half of the state Obamacare exchanges are failing. Well, duh. No surprise here. I don't know about you, Kim, but you know, the whole thing's idiotic, and but you know what? I don't know if you noticed this or not. Have you noticed that the Obamacare is, other than a few Republicans talking about it on the campaign trail, the press doesn't talk about it really at all anymore?
Yeah, it's pretty quiet on the front. And it kind of makes me wonder what they're going to do. If they actually do get control of the White House, just how much change are they going to put there?
Well, yeah, it does make you wonder. Here's one thing, though, about Obamacare in the public's eyes. slowly but surely, Obamacare is actually gaining acceptance in the with the American public. Now, there's still a majority of people who don't like Obamacare. That's still a majority. But the number of people who think Obamacare is a failure has risen from in the 20s to now, excuse me, I guess the other way around. People who like Obamacare has risen from somewhere in the 20s. I think at the lowest point it got to 23%. But now there's like 47 percent that think that it's okay. So it's had a tremendous gain in terms of that. Of course, there's still always there's a certain percentage of people when you take these polls that have no opinion, which I think that's just the craziest thing in the world. I guess there are some situations where you don't have an opinion, but how could you have no opinion on Obamacare when it's basically in everybody's life? How in the world, you know? Someone says, who's going to win the Super Bowl? And you go, I have no opinion. I don't care. I'm not a sports fan. I don't follow the NFL. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Don't sit there and say you're for the New England Patriots or whoever you're for if you don't know and don't care, don't know anything about either of the teams that are playing. But Obamacare affects everybody. So,
yeah, I think the thing with Obamacare is that for a lot of us, it's going to be a slow seeping into our lives. And like companies that you know that go to Obamacare that phase out their own insurance, but people have their own insurance right now through their employers, and those employers may not have that for that much longer. That's the things that people don't, you know, it's going to be a slow creeping into your and my life, especially the ones that are in those companies that doesn't make economic sense for them to keep doing it their way, you know, do it through the company, but let it go through the exchanges.
Well, it's kind of like the old analogy of bowling a frog. You know, if you start the water at a nice lukewarm temperature, the frog sits there and just swimming around, and but you slowly increase before he knows it, he's cooked. And that's pretty much I think the way this is, because like you say, it is a slow creeping thing that people just kind of come to accept. Well, this just is just the way it is.
Yeah, you know? And that's what they want.
Yeah, I think so. And but the reason that one of the reasons all these exchanges are failing, forget all the computer problems and all that stuff, but they're failing financially. They're failing because the way the thing was set up to have all this money coming in the first couple three years or so, and now the money's running out, and these idiots who set up their exchanges are figuring out we have to take care of this ourselves now.
Up to the states,
right? And they don't have the money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the states who were smart enough to stay the hell out of it and let the government run it, per se, are sitting there probably thinking their lucky stars. Oh God, I'm so glad we didn't take this, because all that money would have been nice for a couple of years, but then after that it's gone, and you have to still maintain everything. And they don't have to. It's still the burden falls on the government. Of course, the reality is we all are paying for it. But at least if you're the governor and you're trying to sit there and make your budget make sense and keep your budget within line and balance your budget, these states that have signed up for this are just they're in big trouble. And so I mean, I'm just wondering what will happen if one state, maybe say like California or something, goes to the federal government and says, we can't do this anymore. I'm sorry, we're just going to drop this. You're going to take it over. Would the federal government, I'm guessing under Obama, the federal government will go ahead and just take it over, which is probably what they want anyway, if you think about it, in a sense. But I don't know. It's just.
And we wind up paying for it.
And we all wind up paying for it. And You know.
It's like California. At some point, California is going to say, we can't pay our bills. We can't do, you know, we're so far gone. Somebody's got to bail us out.
California cannot pay their bills. I mean, when you look at their pension plans, when you look at their Obamacare exchange, which is really in the red, really big time in the red, and all these people getting thrown onto Medicaid, I mean, it's just a disaster. And of course, the president paints a smiley face on this, and Democrats say, "Oh, it's working." It's working great and all this kind of stuff, and it's not. And the press won't report what's really going on, like usual. So
it's going to be up to. I mean, this is a perfect example. I mean, you're talking about California and those things. I know we're getting a little off topic here, but this is what Scott Walker, those governors that are doing well, that have balanced their budgets, that have got a surplus in their states. This is what they should be talking about. I mean, look at California. Look at New York. Look at Detroit, Texas, the city of Texas, Detroit.
Texas.
I mean, yeah, you're just here's what they've done, and what liberal policies have put. This is what they've gotten into. Obamacare is going to do it to us.
Yeah, and then if you look at now. Some people might get upset with this, but if you look at every hellhole in the United States, they're all primarily democratically run cities and states. They're very blue, and it is those blue policies that they have that have made their states and their cities hellholes that nobody wants to live in.
It's not a coincidence.
No.
It's not.
It's not a big mystery as to what happened. Well, like, for example, Baltimore. Look at all the trouble in Baltimore. The police, the riots, everything. Just look at the entire thing. I don't know if you know this or not, but in the stimulus, nearly $2 billion was poured into Baltimore to stimulate their economy. Do you have any idea? I read this the other day in an article. Do you have any idea how many jobs were created with that nearly $2 billion?
Not many.
You're right. It's not many, but you want to just take a wild guess. If you've not read the article, just take a wild guess.
You're probably going to say zero. I'll say 1,000.
Okay. Well, zero would be closer. It was what I read in the article I read was 175 jobs were created.
There you go.
Nearly $2 billion. Now, if we're going to spend $2 billion, could we not just take that money and divide it up to everybody in Baltimore? Would they not be better off? I know that's not an answer either, but
Primo,
I'm just saying.
Primo, this is we had this discussion when Obama was elected president, and he passed that so-called stimulus package, $1 trillion stimulus package, and back then we talked about. We'd have been better off. He just cut everybody a check.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it'd make more sense. It'd be more efficient.
Well, those, shovel-ready jobs are so shovel-ready. Funny. Real funny.
If we had done that, if we'd taken that $1 trillion and just gave it to everybody, I mean, literally gave it to everybody, which is silly, but stick with me, at least the money would have gotten plowed back into the economy.
Yeah.
And whether or not they had bought food, housing, whatever, or if they bought drugs with it, at least it would have gotten into the economy in some way.
I don't know if I go quite that far.
Well, I mean, when you're talking about the ludicrous, you have to use something ludicrous in order to make it kind of make sense. You see, anyway.
But you're right. It would have been better than what happened.
Yeah,
it was absolutely nothing, and all that money went to Solyndra, and they just wasted it and. And the liberal media just didn't cover it. If a Republican had done that, it would have been all over front page all the time. It would have been look at the Republicans, look at how they wasted our money. Look at this. Bad.
Well, see, here's the slant. If a Republican had done that, all the money went to Solyndra, et cetera, what they would have done, the way it would have been slanted was the Republicans are just repaying all their fat cat donors and all their wealthy buddies and blah, 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 and giving all these billions of dollars and trillions of dollars worth of welfare to corporations. That would have been the story. Of course, it was never, when all the money was given to Solyndra, was never characterized as giving money to corporations. It was characterized as, you know, energy, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
Investment in the energy sector.
Yeah. It's a big toilet hole is what it was.
Well, if you take the same money and gave it to, say, an oil company, would that not be investing in the energy sector too?
I just don't see how you give $500 million to one company and they just, it's gone within 2 years. I'm like, how do you do that, Primo?
Oh, I could do it. Give me $500 million. See what I can do. That'd be the easiest thing in the world.
But I mean, this company takes $500 million and less than two years later, they're out of business.
Yeah. And they didn't really produce anything or, I mean, and the entire business model was stupid.
Yeah. Done. Over.
Done.
Our money gone. and that was just a one example. There's plenty more where that came from.
And all the, quote, jobs it created, of course, they weren't created for long because once they went out of business, guess what? All those jobs are gone. So there's a Wall Street Journal poll. Let's move on. Wall Street Journal poll that says that, listen to this, 96% of Americans feel that this summer will be one of racial divide. Now, I wonder where they're getting all that. You know? I think the poll is pretty accurate. I think 96% is really high. I'm not sure. But you know what? If you look at the racial divide we have in this country since Obama became president, and as we know, in the summer times, people get a little tense. People get a little angry, especially if they don't have air conditioning. And with all the stuff that's been going on, oh, by the way, two Mississippi policemen in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, were killed last night. They did a traffic stop. They were shot, and they eventually died in the hospital. Massive manhunt. They've got three people, taking them into custody. Two of them been charged with murder. One of them been charged with accessory to murder after the fact. And it just so happens that when it comes to the three perps that have been charged or are going to be charged are blacks. The officers, one was white and one was black. If I've got this in my head straight, the white officer was a canine officer who had gotten the Officer of the Year in his police department in 2012. So apparently pretty good cop. The other guy, the black guy that got killed, was a basically a rookie. He had just recently finished the police academy and had joined the force, and so he's gone. How many cops been killed this week, Ken? And that's 5 or 6 or 7, I think. I don't remember the numbers, but something.
This
like
poll
that.
You said was that was taken, of course, after Baltimore, correct?
Yeah, it was taken after Baltimore. I'm pretty sure of that. And but when you look at Ferguson, you look at Baltimore, I mean, all these other things, and there's been other instances throughout the country that have not gotten the attention this has, but still.
Yeah, but I think it's awful ironic that Baltimore is so, you know, black mayor, black police chief. Even black, half those six that were indicted, half of those are black, and they somehow make it a racial issue.
That doesn't seem to make sense to me. It's not like it's. I mean, maybe you could make a case if all the officers were white, and all the victims were black, and I mean maybe, but when half of the officers that you charge, and the ones with the most serious charges are the black officers. I don't know. I just feel like between Obama, Eric Holder, and Al Sharpton, they have fermented this racial divide so thoroughly during Obama's presidency that it has, I think it's brought about some of this stuff. I truly believe that.
Oh, I'm totally with you. Totally with you. I didn't feel this. I feel it's a heightened level now, as opposed to before he took office. I mean, when he took office, we talked about this before. I think that he was, you know, even for me, I felt a sense of pride that, you know, we could elect a black man in this country.
Oh yeah, and I did too. And
I thought,
well,
maybe if nothing else, maybe the racial relations will get better and that they will improve. Even though I didn't think they were really, you know, awful at the time, but now comparing the two, that by that time to now, I'm thinking, oh, he's made a lot worse. And I think he's used that race card to, anybody that opposes his ideas, you're racist. And he's fed into that.
Well, did you hear the quote from Michelle Obama when she was at a museum? I forget what city she was in.
Yes, I heard.
Well, for those listeners who hadn't heard this, I don't have the exact quote here from me. I'm just doing this off the fly here. But basically, she said that, and why you would even bring that up in a speech about this museum, that basically she said something like, let's face it, museums and art gallery, I mean, whatever she said, it was she specifically mentioned museums, have not been welcoming to blacks and minorities in this country. And I thought, no, wait a minute. As far as I know, there's no sign out front that says you can't come in because you're black or Hispanic or whatever. And museums are for everybody. I mean, have you ever? I've been to some museums in the past. I haven't been into one lately, but I was in the museums in Chicago, which is actually a pretty racially divided city, if you want the truth. But there were plenty of people there from all kinds of colors. There were Hispanics and blacks and, of course, whites. And I don't know what the hell she's talking about. They see race in every damn thing. Almost every topic you bring up, there's some kind of racial component to it.
If they don't bring it up, the media will.
Yeah, right on cue, too. I tell you what.
It's sickening, isn't it? It just turns my stomach. It makes you not want to watch any news at all because that's what you're going to hear.
Yeah, I really don't watch a whole lot of news nowadays. I pretty much get all my news just pretty much off the internet, and not everything on the internet is true, folks. You have to be careful. There are some satirical websites that are actually pretty damn funny. They post stories that look real, and the reason they look so real is they take what you think in your head to just a little above the absurd level, to where you think oh, that can't be true, and then you think, well, maybe it is true. There are several of these that are really good at it, and the people who do the writing, some of them are really good writers. They could be really good journalists because the way they put the piece together and the way they use the photos and all that stuff, it's and of course they are always usually quoting a politician or someone in the news as saying something, of course, they never said. But some of them are really good. Now, some of them are obviously satire sites. You look at it and go, oh, there's no way. You know. And some of them actually put on their site that they are a satire site. You can't believe the thing they say. Some of them don't. Now, the first one to ever do this was The Onion. I don't know if you've ever visited The Onion before, Ken. But The Onion, onion.com, I think, pretty much, has been around for a long, long time. And really, they were like the only ones doing this. Now they're all over the place. And they've gotten more ridiculous in some ways. And some of them have gotten, like I say, really good at what they're doing. And I literally have to sit there and like read through the entire article. When I see a headline on Facebook or something, I have to read through the entire article. And I have to look to see now, when I know something I know is not true, they go, okay, wait a minute here. And I've been guilty once or twice. It hadn't happened a whole lot, but once or twice I've actually shared an article and then found out later it was a satire site. And I had to go back, but wait a minute, I'm sorry, this is a satire site. This is not true, blah, blah, blah. But they don't catch me often, but I have done it a couple times. But
that happens in, like, if you go into Yahoo, Yahoo's infamous for this. You have the news sites mixed in with the sponsored sites, and you have to look over and the sponsored, they got it bleached out on the side in a light blue color or something, or it's hard to really, you don't really notice it. But the headlines, they have headlines just like the regular, and they're not separate. They're not on the left side or the right side. They're mixed in with the other ones.
Yeah,
and you have to go. It'll say a big headline, then you have to look for the sponsored little, icon somewhere down below it to see if it's some kind of advertisement.
Well, even Facebook does that. They'll put sponsored things in your news feed that, in theory, they think there's something you might want to know about or whatever, according to all their algorithms that they use. Yeah. But what is funny about all those sites is they all use what they call baiting. And what that is they have a headline that gets your attention. It's called clickbait. And they want you to click that to go to the site, to go look at whatever they're talking about. And sometimes it's just an ad for some product or whatever the deal is, or sometimes it's just an ad to get you to a website. And when you get on the website, you're inundated with pop-up ads and all kinds of stuff coming across. And they're doing that because they get paid for all those ads that get seen. And even if you only see them for a couple seconds, they still get their money for it. So it's a good way to do things to try to get some revenue from them. But almost any time I see something that says sponsored, I don't care what the headline says, I just don't click on it because I know that it's either almost always clickbait. Occasionally, there's something that's legitimate and you would like to read about. But
you got to educate yourself.
Yeah, you have to educate yourself and figure out what's going on. But we're running a little late. Let's go ahead and go to break. When we come back, we got plenty more to talk about, so stick with us. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
commerce.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
America's premier grassroots conservative talk radio network.
Red State Talk Radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Mr. Speaker, get me a doctor.
The voice of American conservatism. WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month, so please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster. Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's Talk Monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Are you a homeowner at least 62 years young? Need extra money to make ends meet? With a government-insured reverse mortgage loan, you could use the money as you choose. If you need money, a reverse mortgage could be a real blessing. There's no monthly mortgage payment, and you still own your home. Plus, you can use the money to pay off bills, make ends meet, or as you see fit. If you're a homeowner at least 62 and you need money, make this no-obligation call right now and learn how a reverse mortgage may allow you to eliminate your mortgage payment, remain in your home, and get extra cash. Call right now, 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254, 800-365-7254. That's 800-365-7254. Borrowers are responsible for paying taxes and insurance. AAG offers FHA home equity conversion loans. AAG is based at 3800 West Chapman Avenue, 3rd floor, Orange, California, 92868. Visit AAG.com for more information. NMLS number 9392.
Red State Talk Radio, the Talk Monster.
Okay, we're back. The American Thinker put an article out recently about the Obama deceit doctrine. Which, you know, remember Bush had his doctrine. Obama's had his Middle East policy doctrine. This is the first time I've ever actually seen someone label all of Obama's lies as his doctrine. In other words, this is standard operating procedure for this guy. And I think it's neat that someone actually finally kind of put a name to this. Because almost anything that comes up with this guy, his first instinct is a lie like hell. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about Obamacare or if you're talking about just name a topic. I don't believe anything he says. And even when he gets caught in a lie, he still spins it and lies more. I just think it's good that actually someone has actually come up with a name for this. And hopefully this will catch on.
Part of the article, when I was reading it, I was laughing. This is another thing that the media doesn't hone in on. If it was Bush, they'd play it all the time. Right. But with Obama, they talk about him being geographically challenged.
Yeah.
The 57 states in America. He's that Hawaii was in Asia. They speak Austrian in Austria. That Illinois is closer to Kentucky than Arkansas. That they're not sure a border. I mean, I mean, this guy's really, I mean, he's got some big gaps, and they don't shine to put those in the spotlight.
No, they don't. And when Bush said anything, if he mispronounced a word or if he said something that didn't make sense, it literally could be headline news almost. I mean, literally.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy either gets buried onto page 17A or it's not mentioned at all in most cases.
Except Fox News.
Yeah, and they're disappointing me a lot. We're going to talk about that coming into this in just a couple minutes. But let's just go ahead and go into that. You know, the FBI recently, the director recently put out he was testifying, I think in front of Congress, I believe, and said that the Islamic State is gaining influence in the USA. And this was reported by the USA Today newspaper. You know, think about this, Ken. Just probably a couple of years ago or so, I never heard of ISIS, did you?
No.
Right?
No.
So how is it, you know?
When I did hear about them, they were the JV team.
Yeah, that's one of the first things I heard about the ISIS is that basically it wasn't a problem. Don't worry about it. They're just the JV team and whatever. And of course, that's proven ridiculous on its face.
Well, Primo, just here's the big thing to me is that I heard this today on I was watching the news, and the latest poll they did about what's the biggest concern to Americans right now,
mm-hmm.
and almost always it's the economy, isn't it?
Yeah, normally.
I mean, for decades, it's been economy or
jobs, et cetera.
Yeah, jobs, economy. Right now, the number one by far is security, national security.
Yeah,
that's huge to me. That's the number one on people's minds, which to me is really good for certain candidates in the Republican side. And they should be talking about it a lot. And maybe that's why they don't talk about Obamacare more, because they know that Americans are so concerned about ISIS.
Yeah, as far as presidential candidates, when it comes to the Republican side, I think it plays into the wheelhouse of Marco Rubio, because he has a clear, defined national security, foreign policy kind of sense about him. He's done well in that area. And it's kind of his thing. And so I think it's part of the reasons he's kind of rising in the polls and stuff. But going back to this whole ISIS thing, you know, this we have to talk about this. This incident in Texas where Pamela Geller, who held this cartoon drawing of Muhammad event, and they were giving out a prize, I think, of $10,000 or something like that to whoever had the best cartoon about Muhammad. Now, first of all, this is a private event. In other words, it was not you didn't have to go to this thing you didn't want to, in other words. It was held out at somewhere they held it. I forget where they held it. But the thing was, she knew that this could be controversial, of course. And she spent over $50,000 in for security, and in private security, and also paying cops, local cops in Garland, Texas, to help provide security. They were getting paid to do that, and not by the taxpayers, by her. Okay, and two jihadis show up near the end of the event with AK-47s. Thinking they're going to shoot their way into the place, start shooting everybody up, and and one cop, who's actually his main job is a traffic cop, with his service revolver, took them both out.
Atta boy, you know, they're pretty stupid to even go after that. Anybody in Texas, you got to think twice, because most everybody in Texas is going to have a gun anyway.
Well, yeah,
and they know how to use it.
Yeah, that is kind of. I thought, now if you're going to do this, you should be doing this in maybe, I don't know,
New York City,
Chicago, New York, or something like that. the fact that she held it in Texas and that'd be like the dumbest place for ISIS to show up. And ISIS claimed
responsibility.
Credit for this, responsibility for this. Yeah, they claimed it after it happened, of course. But here's the thing. If I were ISIS, I'd claim everything that happened. I would claim that I was responsible for it. That'd be the smart thing to do. But still, I don't necessarily doubt that they didn't have something to do with this. It kind of goes by their playbook. They're saying they have 17 trained soldiers in 15 different states. And I'm thinking, well, that's nice. We've got, depending on what the states are, and I haven't really read the entire list, but we've got hundreds of millions. Well, not hundreds, but maybe 100 million. I don't know. We've got a lot of Americans who are armed and carrying concealed weapon permits. Lots of them. And if you think, well, first of all, we're not France. Let's just get that straight. The Charlie Hebdo thing that happened, and the French police were unarmed, and they had their way and did what the hell they wanted to do with no one to stop them. The French police got on their bicycles and rode off. There wasn't anybody riding off on this deal.
Mm-mm.
And our cops are armed. Now, who was it that, who was the idiot? And it was an idiot that said we should disarm all our cops. Oh, Michael Moore. That idiot Michael Moore said that we should disarm all the cops in the United States. And I'm thinking, yeah, you dumbass. If we had done that, look what would have happened in Garland, Texas.
Yeah.
He's an idiot. That's all you can say. I mean, that is just so stupid to think that our cops should not be armed. Again, we're not the French.
This is what you see from the liberal media. You see interviews with Michael Moore.
Yeah, and you know what? The conservative media should probably interview him too, because he just makes everything that conservatives are trying to say
better
because he's such an idiot.
Yeah, he's the extreme.
So let's get to the whole point here, though. First of all, some people. Now here's the next thing. There's an article in the American Thinker about conservative pundits for Sharia. And what they're talking about is a lot of conservatives criticized Pamela Geller and said it was all her fault that this happened because of the event that she held.
Yeah.
Now, I thought freedom of speech meant all speech.
Mm-hmm.
At least that was the way I was taught. Growing up.
So did I.
And there have been lots of speech I don't agree with. Like, for example, in New York City, when they had this crucifix in a bottle or a whatever, a jar of urine.
Yeah. I didn't see the Christians shooting up the place.
Yeah, I didn't see any of the archbishops or the cardinals or even priests or any Christians at all shooting up the museum where this was, or the art gallery. I use the term art gallery very loosely. I'm assuming it was art gallery. Supposedly that was art. And what were these people doing in Garland, Texas? They were doing art. They were drawing pictures of Muhammad. I mean, what's the difference? To me, there's none. And what makes Islam so special that it can't be criticized, but Christianity and Catholicism can? Or Judaism. I mean, just pick your religion. And Bill O'Reilly, I don't care for Bill O'Reilly a whole lot. I'll be honest. Every now and then he says something that's right on. He does. But what's the old saying? Every squirrel finds an acorn every now and then, whatever the deal is. Every nut, yeah. He basically said she's completely at fault. It was her. She was basically, a lot of people have said this, use this phrase, poking the bear. In other words, if you're in the zoo and you poke the bear, you get what you're going to get. Well, that may be true in the zoo because the bear is a wild animal. However, in civilized society, you should be able to poke fun at whatever you want to poke fun at. And
with freedom of speech.
With freedom of speech, yes. And freedom of religion. And I mean, let's go right down the list. What I find funny in Garland, Texas is the jihadis who don't like freedom of speech, they don't like the First Amendment. They got introduced to the Second Amendment real quick. So, I saw a thing on Facebook. I don't know if you saw this or not. One guy said, my favorite drawing at the event in Garland, Texas, with the two chalk lines outside.
I didn't see that. That's good. That's
really good. That line's pretty good, too. I wish I'd thought of it.
That is really good.
But
I like that. That's good.
Anyway, so I just well, first of all, Kim, was it her fault or was she poking the bear? And if she was poking the bear, is that a problem to you, with you? Or
I think if she did that in Paris, France, she'd be, you know, I think that would be you have reason to be scared. You shouldn't have any reason to be scared here. You put a crucifix in a jar of urine, I don't see any difference, you know.
And let's be clear that crucifix in the jar of urine is just one example of
many
examples of where Christianity and people of Jewish faith, et cetera, have been.
No, I mean it's going even further extreme. We got Christians with their heads being cut off, and a president that's really not calling a spade here. He doesn't even bring up radical Islamists. He doesn't even, that's not even in his vocabulary. So, you know, Christians.
I heard a quote this week said that ISIS is Islam, Islam is ISIS, and anybody who tells you different is a liar. Well, who told us different? That would be our liar in chief, Barack Obama. Okay, let's move on. We've got a few minutes left.
Wasn't that fun?
Oh, yeah. The State Department. Oh, by the way, on the freedom of speech thing, if you've not seen Megyn Kelly's clip on that, it's fantastic. She does a great job of defending freedom of speech. If you've not seen it, Ken, let me know and I'll send you the link. The State Department has announced they are not going to look into Clinton Foundation donors. Huh?
What?
You heard me right. The State Department says they are not going to look into the Clinton Foundation donors. Basically, since she's out of office, it doesn't really matter anymore. I'm compressing their entire spin into that short sentence. It's really kind of like old news, doesn't really matter, it's in the past, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Is that a direct, that's a directive from the White House, am I right? Influence of the State Department?
It was some spokesman from the State Department, but you know they were influenced by either the White House or because Hillary Clinton maybe still has swag in the State Department, even though she's gone.
But they've got to cut ties with her. They can't be connected with Hillary Clinton and her misgivings, being very politely here. They can't, you know, that's going to hurt Barack Obama's legacy.
It's going to hurt his legacy. It's also going to hurt the Democratic Party when it comes to 2016. So they're basically just going to stay the hell out of it.
Yeah,
which,
let's try to.
Which, the thing is, someone brought this up, another pundit on some other show. I don't remember what show I was watching. Or it might have been an article I read. But anyway, the point is, we know the Justice Department's not going to look into this. That's not going to happen because of who we have at the head of the Justice Department now. We know now that the State Department is not going to look into this. But, you know, there is one person who could look into this. and they don't have to get presidential approval or anything, congressional approval. They don't have to have anything. And that's the director of the FBI, Comey. He can look into this and he can investigate this without any authority from anybody. The question is, will he? I'm guessing probably not, because he'd like to keep his job. But I could be wrong. If he does investigate it, and if it's an actual true investigation, my hat's off to him. Big time. Benghazi committee. We only got about 3 minutes. We got to get this stuff in here. The White House is still stonewalling us. This is Trey Gowdy talking about this. We won't go into it a whole lot deeper than that. Just read the article on redstatetalkradio.com if you want to have more information. But people are criticizing Trey Gowdy for requesting Hillary Clinton come to Capitol Hill and answer questions. She said she will once. She won't do it twice. Everybody's saying you should subpoena Hillary Clinton. Well, guess what? He subpoenaed her State Department, subpoenaed everybody under the sun, and they basically ignored the subpoenas. The White House ignored the subpoenas, State Department ignored the subpoenas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you won't put the full force behind a subpoena, there's no point in doing it. And I don't know if it's just that he feels like there's no point in doing it because nobody has enforced all the other subpoenas he's given. You see what I'm saying? So maybe he's just saying, like, you know, what's the point of issuing a subpoena if no one's going to hold their feet to the fire and force them to comply with the subpoena? Anyway, just something to think about. Carly Fiorina, the anti-Hillary. The New Republic has an article. There's a post on that on redstatetalkradio.com. Carly Fiorina, have you heard some of the stuff she said here recently? Now, here's the thing. She's been interviewed dozens of times, answered lots of questions. Hillary Clinton has been in the race now for almost a month. She's answered a total of, guess what, 7 questions. And, of course, she didn't really answer those. But one other thing about Hillary real quick. And we're not going to talk about her needing a facelift. We'll do that another time. We have more time. But... But the thing is, she's recently someone discovered some audio of her doing an interview to where she was really down on illegal immigration. And then she's come out this week talking about she's going to go even further than Obama has done. Obama said that literally he's done everything he can under the law to get these people help them become American citizens, et cetera, whatever. And Hillary Clinton says if she becomes president, she'll issue executive orders to go even further than Obama has done, which makes you wonder if Obama did everything he could legally and she's going to do more, would she not be in unlawful territory?
That's where he is now.
Well, that's what I think too. But even assuming you believe him that he's done everything legally and she's going to go further, then that kind of makes you believe that, well, maybe it won't be so legal, right? Would that be kind of
kind of.
Okay, all right. We're out of time. Ken, you want to take us out?
If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We're out of here. We'll see you next time.